What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and in today's episode, I'm going to try my best to give you a full training camp preview. I usually hop on here and do this for obviously the regular season, but I felt like it was necessary with training camp. By the time I'm releasing this, being a week from today on September 29th, media day as well, just kind of want to dive into to give you guys an update on the roster, on some possible moves that need to be made, some signings that the Wizards, you know, just made to fill that final two-way spot, some Exhibit 10 deals, and kind of give you a full summary of what to look for next week when training camp begins, and obviously looking forward into the regular season. There's also some jersey news. You know, I've seen a lot of people saying the Wizards need a rebrand. They need new jerseys. They might be going back to the old gold look. With you know, during the Gilbert days, been dropping a lot of hints on social media, so gonna dive into that at some point as well. But I wanted to start with kind of some housekeeping, some updates on recent signings that the team made in case you missed it. The Wizards a couple of days ago actually signed Sharif Cooper to a two-way deal. That is the final two-way deal that they had to offer. Tristan Vukcevic was on one, Jameer Watkins was on one. They had Jaylen Martin on the other, but they released him a couple weeks ago. Now they fill that spot with Sharif Cooper, who's, you know, the 48th pick in 2021 out of Auburn, was really solid there, and then just like kind of stopped playing in college, and then got picked by Atlanta, spent 3 years in the G League, averaged, you know, pretty good numbers, 19 points a game in his final season on decent shooting splits, 37% from three. Again, decent assists mark. He was a pretty solid player. I think 8 assists in that final season with the Cleveland Charge, I think, which is the Cavs G League affiliate. He's 6'1". He's fast in the open court. He can shoot the three. He can find his teammates. He's a little undersized, I think, but at the same time, he's very talented. I think he could have been a first-round pick at Auburn had he played the rest of that season and if he had stayed. But obviously, and it's interesting, actually, because his father is, I believe, Omar Cooper. And if you follow closely the Ace Bailey saga, you know, Bailey wasn't going to workouts for certain teams, pretty much all teams. He refused to work out for any teams, is the reporting in the pre-job process. He had a workout with the Sixers and canceled it last second. A lot of evaluators and scouts and GMs weren't pleased with how he handled that process. His agent was Omar Cooper. And that is Sharif Cooper's father. So that's a little link here. A lot of people saying this is a chess move to bring Ace here at some point. Obviously, that's just a joke. But Cooper's got game. He's fast. He's shifty with the ball. He can shoot, find his teammates. I think it's a good signing. You obviously have a big when Vukcevic on a two-way. You have kind of a wing slash forward and Watkins, kind of more so a wing. But then you also now have this point guard. So I guess that you do need someone to bring up from the G League. I guess you do have every position filled. I don't think they really care about that. I think that's just kind of how it worked out. I'm sure Will Dawkins is just looking to acquire talent with those two ways. But nonetheless, Cooper is now that final two way there. You know, not a bad signing by any means. Pretty talented. I believe he's still just 24 years old, so it's not like he's that old. Played overseas, I think, in China last year. So not too mad at that signing. And then they rounded out their training camp roster with a pair of Exhibit 10 deals. They signed Keyshawn Gilbert and Jonathan Pierre to Exhibit 10 contracts, which is essentially training camp deals. If both these names sound familiar, then you clearly watch the Wizards summer league games, at least, you know, the last couple ones, especially against New York, because that was both of these guys' best games. Gilbert is a first-year player out of Iowa State, and Pierre is a first-year player, I think, out of Belmont. You can fact-check me on that, but I'm pretty sure Pierre's out of Belmont. Pierre, I guess, more so like a stretch four. He's a pretty big forward. Had 18 points and 5 boards. Made a couple threes against New York in that summer league game. You know, had some up-and-down moments, certainly, shooting the ball as well, but that was probably the game that you kind of saw why the Wizards, you know, are still interested in him. And then Gilbert was just fun. Like, I tweeted out, you know, my takeaways from all the summer league games, and a handful of them, it was just that I enjoyed watching Keyshawn Gilbert. I really like his defense, especially on ball. I think he's a pest on the perimeter, really fast with the ball on offense, can get in transition, can find teammates, can shoot as well. That game against New York was probably the reason he's got this deal. I mean, 15 points, 8 boards, 5 assists, a really speedy guard, and someone that kind of hangs his hat on being a defensive-minded guard, which I like. But certainly these are two guys that they brought in to round out that training camp roster. I'll touch on the Exhibit 10 deals later, but essentially I can just talk about it now. If you sign an Exhibit 10 deal with the team for training camp and then you sign with that team's G League affiliate thereafter, you then, I believe, get a $75,000 bonus. So it's kind of like an incentive. And that's why you'll a lot of times see people get signed at like 9 a.m. to an Exhibit 10 contract, and that same day at like 10 a.m. they're waived. It's kind of like, hey, like, we're going to sign you to this and then waive you, but it's just so like, hey, come sign with my team and we'll make sure you get this bonus. So that's kind of, you know, probably the thought process there. They also want to have in training camp. I'm sure they're interested. I thought Gilbert was a two-way candidate, obviously with Cooper. He now signed there. He's not, but certainly a go-go candidate as well. So I'm going to kind of get into the training camp roster now, now that we've kind of touched on some of those signings. And I'm going to break it down through a couple of position groups. I want to talk obviously about the guards, then the wings, and then the forwards. And I've seen that a lot of people have been a little confused about me listing guys like Sarr and Vukcevic as forwards. They are centers on this team. I think on a lot of teams, they would be listed as a forward, you know, a power forward. You know, if the Wizards had like a Steven Adams who could start alongside Sarr, are you starting Sarr at the five? I don't know. I think they want him to be a five. But I'm just categorizing the forwards as big men. So keep that in mind going forward. But here's the updated training camp roster. There are 16 standard contracts here and 5 camp invites. And so obviously Washington needs to get down to 15 standard contracts. So someone will have to be cut. We will obviously discuss that later in the episode. But as it stands now, the guards are Bob Carrington, CJ McCollum, Trey Johnson, AJ Johnson, and Malachi Branham. Again, I think Bob Carrington is your probable starter at point guard. And I know a lot of people think he's a combo guard, probably not a true point guard. A lot of people think he's best served as a third guard, 6 man off the bench. I know, Kevin Broom from Bolts Forever, my colleague, I think he kind of believes he's more that us, you know, third guard, maybe bench scoring type. But we'll be able to see, right? Well, the Wizards traded Jordan Poole. I think they really wanted to make sure they had a good enough sample size of Bob Carrington starting every day at point guard. And he played all 82 last year. Hopefully he's healthy enough to do the same this year. And you'll kind of get a glimpse at that. And I think he'll start alongside McCollum. I've been on that train for a while. I think CJ is the best two guard on this team at the moment. I think Trey Johnson could surprise a lot of people early on. I mean, he was terrific. Averaged pretty much 20 points per game in 2 summer league games. A great shooting split. So if he surpasses CJ at some point this year in the rotation, not surprised at all. Not even surprised if it happens within the first couple months. But I think to start the season, like, CJ McCollum is the better option there. I think it's nice to kind of ease Trey in, let him learn from a veteran like McCollum. And so if I had to guess, that would kind of be my backcourt pairing. And then you got Trey off the bench. You got AJ Johnson, who might feature someone in this rotation. I still think it's a little too raw to be kind of an everyday option, at least to begin the season. Especially, you know, he's got to add some weight. I think he's got to get a lot more consistent with his jump shot, a lot more consistent with his reads, especially if he wants to, you know, handle himself as a point guard like he did in summer league. So I think AJ has a ways to go. He's also 20 years old still. He's only in his second year in the league. I have no reservations about the fact that he can eventually get to a certain point. He's got a lot of potential, but I just don't think he's there now. I think there's better options, especially at guard and wing. So I don't know where he would fit in. Then you got Branham, and we'll talk about him later. Was brought over in that Kelly Olynyk trade alongside Blake Wesley, who's already been cut, I guess bought out technically. But it just goes to show that Dallas to get that second round pick. Branham is still here. He's only, you know, 3 years removed from being a first-round pick himself, so still has game. I really do like what he could be as, you know, I guess a guard that can score the ball off the bench. But You know, it'll be seen what the Wizards think of him. He'll get training camp, I believe, to showcase what he can do. So that's kind of the round out of the guards. I believe the first four, Carrington, McCollum, Johnson, and Johnson are pretty much locks to make this team. Actually, I kind of know that they're locks. Like, if they cut AJ Johnson, that'd be surprising. They're not going to cut any of the first three. And then Malachi is kind of that bubble player we'll talk about in a bit. Moving on to the next section of players and the biggest section of players, which is the wings. And I could try my best to split these guys up between guards and forwards, but like, I don't even know what Bilal Coulibaly is. I've seen him listed on ESPN as a guard. I think if you asked anybody for the definition of a wing in today's NBA, they would say Bilal Coulibaly. So I'm not going to say he's either a guard or a forward. I'm just going to label him as a wing, and I'm going to do the same. It's kind of a bailout for me. But there's a lot of guys on this team that, yes, they could be forwards. Yes, they could be guards. But they could kind of play a hybrid of both at times. And so there's this kind of new position we've created in the NBA called the wing. And that's what I'm going to categorize this next group as. There's a lot of them, so bear with me. Chris Middleton, Bilal Coulibaly, Keyshawn George, Justin Champagny, Corey Kispert, Will Riley, Cam Whitmore, and Dylan Jones. So that's a lot right there, right? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 8 wings. It's a pretty hefty group. And a lot of these guys, if you need another guard, they can play guard. If you need another forward, they can play forward. It's not that difficult to kind of shift them around, which is why they have that label, right? Here's my thing with the wings. And I've done episodes on this where I talked about who should start at the forward spots. Because like I said, I think the backcourt is pretty much set, at least in my opinion. And so I think, you know, Middleton is probably a likely starter at that wing position, whether it's at the three or the four. I keep harping on this. You probably said, you'll hear me say this 30 times if you're a listener to the pod, but he came over at the deadline. He only played 14 games after that, but he started them all, and the Wizards won 6 of them. The team clearly plays better when he's in the lineup, and you need that for a team that is looking to just build a winning culture and build winning habits. Playing around veterans, you see it in Detroit when they make the playoffs, helps these younger guys get better. And maybe it gets a little bit more wins than some Wizards fans want because they think, okay, they want to keep their pick. They need to lose all 82 games. It's not the case. They can win 20 games. Like we saw with Dallas, they can make the play-in, nearly make the playoffs, and still get the number one pick. It's all going to even itself out with the lottery because that can go any which way. So, again, I'm just concerned that, you know, if on the Wizards about putting the best team on the floor that can help everybody develop. And eventually, I think Middleton and McCollum, like I said, will be phased out of that starting lineup, whether it's in, you know, late November, whether it's in mid-December, whether it's, you know, in late January as the deadline approaches and they've already built up that value. At some point, they're going to kind of take a step back, and guys like George and Coulibaly will take over the forward spots, or, you know, the three and the four, and you got Trey Johnson who will, you know, join Bub in that backcourt, I would presume, at some point while McCollum gets phased out. So I do think, you know, with that said, that Middleton will be one of those starters. And then Bilal, obviously, he had surgery on that thumb, tore ligament in that shooting, I think the shooting hand thumb. So he's going to be out the next couple of weeks, and I would assume he'll miss at least the first week of the regular season, maybe more. But shouldn't miss too much time. He will be out to start the year, though. And so he's not going to start. It seems pretty clear that Keyshawn George should, you know, move into that role, especially if he plays how he played in AmeriCup end to end last season. But you also brought in Cam Whitmore this offseason. And I feel like a lot of Wizards fans just forget. And I'm not exempt from that. There's times where I'm like, oh, yeah, like Cam Whitmore is also on this team. He feels like, you know, we see that trade as the Wizards getting him for nothing. And we don't really correlate that. Yes, they got him for nothing, but he's a terrific talent. And he's still got potential. He's only in his third year. He didn't play much. And in the time he played in Houston, he played pretty well. So I really wouldn't even be surprised if he took over that role as a forward. But obviously he'll be a part of that rotation to begin the season, whether it's an 8-man, a 9-man. I think Keith typically likes 8 or 9-mans. He doesn't go to 10 usually. But I do think that George, Coulibaly, and Whitmore will kind of be those, and Middleton as well, will be your threes and fours that you see featured pretty early. And that's kind of what we're looking at camp right now. And then you got guys like Justin Champagny, who started a career high in games last year, was a double-double machine over the last 10. Just is always consistent, one of the most consistent Wizards last season, especially. Your guy that really defends, rebounds well for his position, has added a three-point shot, can get to the rim. He's a pretty complete player, you know, molded himself into that, and I think it's good depth to have. He is a non-guaranteed contract, and like I mentioned, the Wizards have to get down to 15. I think it would be a really dumb decision, a really short-sighted decision if they cut him, because people, I think Wizards fans especially, consider Champagny to be the seasoned vet that they got. They just signed randomly as a free agent. But that's not the case. Like, he's 23 years old. He's the same age as some guys that you would consider to be in this young core, and only a year or two older than other guys like Tristan Vukcevic. So he's on a very cheap deal. It would be really dumb and short-sighted, I think, to cut him just to have an open roster spot for a guy like Branham, for a guy like Dylan Jones that you also didn't even draft, and has improved on your team that they can be a pretty much everyday starter if you need them, and a really good depth and backup piece on the back end of your roster. So I have seen the murmurs about maybe cutting Champagny because he's a non-guaranteed. I think that's the dumbest decision this front office can make, and I don't think they will do it. But then you also got a guy like Corey Kispert that makes this a little tricky because he's on a pretty decent deal, making $13 million a year. He's coming off a pretty down shooting year, but I have enjoyed the fact that he's not a good defender, right? But I don't think he is a true liability at times like he used to be in his first, couple years in the league. I also think that the fact that he's added an interior game where he can drive to the rim, he's one of the best cutters on this team, but he's also a terrific driver. And people might not know that from an outside perspective or from people that just say, oh, he's a white guy that can shoot and he can't even shoot the ball. What's he good for? He's added a really good, floor game where he can pump fake, put it on the ground, and he's pretty consistent. He shields the ball really well and doesn't get blocked too often when he goes to the rim. He's had a little float game when he needs it. I really do like what he's built his game into. He's more than just a shooter. Now, that being said, shooting is a big part of what he can do for you on the floor in terms of spacing. And so I think that obviously needs to get better. I'm sure if you ask Corey, he'd be the first to tell you that he has to shoot a lot better from three, from the field, next season. And so I also firmly think he'll be a part of the rotation. So it gets tricky, right? Because that's five guys. You got Middleton, Koulibaly, Keyshawn George, Champagny, Corey Kispert. Actually, six really with Cam Whitmore, but I obviously think that Champagne would probably be the odd man out if that's the case. So there's a lot of guys that will be competing in camp for not too many spots in Keith's rotation. It's a good thing to have, right? Like I've said before, I think this is the most talented roster they've had during this rebuilding phase, which is only the third year, but their veterans are a lot better than they were in the beginning of the rebuild. Obviously, their younger guys are a little bit more further along in their development, especially Koulibaly. You got year two of Sarr, George, Carrington, Johnson, so A.J. Johnson, that is. Then you got Trey Johnson as a rookie who looks really good. So it's definitely a really good roster, and this is a good problem, I think, to have. But early on, there's going to be some guys that aren't going to play, and you're just going to kind of scratch your head and say, why? And I hope you can kind of come back to this pod and just kind of say, you know what, Greg was just trying to stress that they have a lot of people for not too many spots in Keith's rotation. Especially if he goes eight man. I mean, that's going to be pretty difficult. I think they'll go nine early. But that's kind of the forward roundup, the wing roundup. And you don't even get to discussing Will Riley, who the Wizards literally just drafted 21st. He's got a lot of potential, but I think this is actually pretty good for Riley. He's a really skinny guy, and he needs to get more consistent with his outside jumper because it's a good jumper. It's pretty pure, but it needs to be more consistent. He obviously needs to bulk up. I believe he's only like 176 pounds for a guy that's 6'8". So he really does need to get in the gym and get some reps there. And I think sitting behind, some veterans and some other players while he, does that and tries to, round out his game is probably the best thing for him. So early on, I think you'll see him sit. And then that leaves you with Dylan Jones on that back end, who, again, same situation really as Branham. brought over here not because the Wizards were like, oh, you're terrific. And maybe they do think he's good and has potential, but they wanted the second round pick from OKC in order to give them some salary cap relief. They traded Olynyk to the Spurs because the Spurs did want Olynyk. They also wanted to send out Branham and Wesley because they weren't part of their plans, and they attached a pick in the second round to that as well. So they're kind of in a similar boat, and I think they're also in a similar bubble on the back end of this roster, just because, like, for the reasons I mentioned, they weren't really acquired mainly for them, and then also because they weren't drafted by this current regime. They're not under contract past this season. We have talked in previous pods about Washington wanting flexibility for 2026 and beyond in terms of the cap. They have that already, but they'd get more now. It's not like they cut these guys and they're still on tap for guaranteed money in the future. That's not the case past this year. So that's kind of the Wings group. It's a crowded and clustered group. I think that's actually a good thing. While some might think it's a bad thing, I think having more to use than you might have space for, especially on a rebuilding team where you're just trying to find pieces that you think can stick for the future, I actually do like having that problem. So, look, we'll see. It's big for Keith. You know, making these rotations is not going to be easy, right? But we'll see what he does and who plays early. I think I'll be pretty intrigued to see that. Trades can happen as well. Like the Wizards fans have been trying to ship Corey Kispert for 2 years. I've seen nothing to indicate that's ever been a reality, or that they've ever considered that. So again, I don't think he'll be moved. It's really difficult to move Middleton and McCollum, so I doubt that. They're both going to be 34 in October by the start of the season. They're both making about $34 million for this season, expiring deals, but they're going to be pretty tough. So crowded wing group, but I think that's a good problem to have, and we'll see who Keith plays where in his rotations. That brings me to the two-way deal. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. That brings me to the forward/centers of this group. It's a small group. It's just three. And it's Alex Saar, it's Marvin Bagley, and now it's Anthony Gill after the Wizards brought him back. I think obviously Saar starts, and it's a big year for Saar. He's still nursing that calf muscle injury that he suffered at Eurobasket. It's not like Koulibaly's. It didn't require surgery. The Wizards, I believe, said that they think he'll be ready for the start of the season. I don't know if that means training camp. I wouldn't be surprised if the first couple of days you see Alex Saar maybe working off to the side or not working too much at all in training camp as he kind of nerves it. Because, you know, calf injuries, I feel like typically people get nervous because strained calf leads to Achilles. We saw with KD, with Halliburton. And so obviously I would assume the Wizards want to be pretty cautious with it. He got shut down at Eurobasket because of it. So I you know, take that how you will. He's a big part of this rebuild. I doubt they'd rush him back too early. So we'll see. They can be tricky as well with those types of injuries. But he'll be the starter if he's ready opening night at center. You signed Bagley back to the team. Same with Gill to back him up. It was kind of slim pickings at center. You decided to waive Rashawn Holmes, who I thought was honestly better than Bagley last year. And you know, I debate a wall, but I thought he was better. He was also on the books at some point for $12 million. Which would have been guaranteed in January. I don't know what they were going to do with that, but clearly they were like, let's just waive him. Let's sign Bagley to a way cheaper vet minimum deal. Same with Gill when we bring him back, and they can all compete together in training camp. And this is a little tricky, right? Because when they didn't have Gill, it was 15, and they were like, they'd been at 17, 18, 19, back to 16. They were kind of around that mark, and you're like, okay, someone will have to get cut. Then they buy out Smart, which would have made things trickier if they kept him. They buy out Wesley. And now they were down to 15. Then they bring back Gill because I would assume they wanted, you know, his veteran presence, but they also want another body that, because at times when the Wizards did need a body down low, Gill, it was that guy that, you know, that forward that they would plug in at as a small ball center. And I actually didn't mind those lineups. I thought that they played a lot faster. Which suits their play style with a young, hungry, up and coming, fast team playing fast in transition. Gill, you know, enables them to do that. So I think maybe that was a reasoning. Like, we could sign another center, but we could just sign Gill for his veteran presence. And if we need another, you know, big for a small ball lineup, we are confident Gill can do the job. I'm sure that was kind of what went into that decision as well. But he's back as a veteran presence, and that kind of rounds out the the roster. That's 16 standard deals. Some will have to get cut. I think if we're really talking here, it's Jones or Branham that makes the most sense to me. And I have no information on this, by the way. Like, it's not like I have a source telling me it's Jones or Branham. This is just from deductive reasoning and looking at the roster. Like, I've laid out the reasons before. I don't want to harp on it too much, but that would make sense. I'd be surprised, honestly, if someone other than these two got cut. But I've been surprised in years past, right? If you remember 2 years ago, the Wizards parted ways with Taj Gibson and then decided to bring him back, even though they had no roster space for him. Signed into, I think, you know, $1.5 to $2 million training camp deal, and then waived him. And from what I had read, it was you know, a little thank you to Taj Gibson. Just like, hey, thanks for your years of service. Thanks for being here last year for the rebuild. I guess Taj wasn't here for the rebuild, but he was here. And I guess it was kind of like a token of appreciation. But then they did waive him. So, like, I don't foresee that happening with Gil. But if Gil did get waived, I would be brought back to that Gibson thing where it's like, okay, thanks for your service. Here's like $1 million or $2 million. Go join a contender or retire, whatever you want to do. But thanks for being here for a month for training camp to help our young guys. That would be pretty odd to me. But if they really do like Branham and they really do like Jones, then sure. But I've been on this train for a while. I think the Wizards value Anthony Gill's leadership, mentorship a lot more than they would what Branham or Jones can give them on the back end as a 14th, 15th man on this team. You know, I also think that that is the right thing to do as well. So that's kind of where I'd go with the cuts. You can have up to 21 players on a training camp roster. The Wizards, with the recent signings, are at that now. 16 standard contracts, five camp deals, and the five guys that are on training camp deals, like I mentioned, those Exhibit 10s are Jonathan Pierre and Keshawn Gilbert that we touched on at the top of the show. You also have Kadari Richmond from St. John's, first-year guard, undrafted free agent. Alondis Williams, who I think is in his second or third year out of Wake Forest. Shout out my guy Bijan Todd, who's also, I believe, a Wake Forest alum. But Williams spent a couple years with the Sky Force, the Heat G League affiliate, and he played really well for them. And so that's another guy. And then Scala BCA as well, who I think was drafted in like 2014. He's been around for so long. And he's still going. He was with the Magic for Summer League, spent a while with the Kings, the Stockton Kings, and the G League. Kind of perennial G Leaguer recently, and I'm sure he'll be with the Go-Go. But like I mentioned, I would expect all five of these guys on these deals to be Capital City Go-Go guys for this season. They'll get, I believe, that 75K bonus for signing the Exhibit 10, then signing with the Go-Go. But other than that, that's kind of what I got for this semi-training camp rebuild. Obviously, we're still monitoring the Bilal injury. He probably won't participate in too much, at least in the very beginning of training camp, as he recovers from that thumb injury. You know, the Wizards would hope he's back by the start of the season. I don't think that's going to be the case. He'll probably miss a week or two as he ramps up. Like, I think he'll miss a week, and then they'll be like, okay, he's ramping up. He'll make his debut in a couple of days. And I think, you know, give it back 2 weeks and Koulibaly's back. You got to hope, obviously, Sarr with that calf muscle injury is back by opening night as well, because the Wizards are already thin at center, as we mentioned. So you don't really want to be starting Marvin Bagley backed up by Anthony Gill or Tristan Vukcevic on opening night. That's not ideal. So I'm sure the Wizards are also in the same boat, hoping Sarr is back. And the last thing before I let you go, the gold and black might be back. The Wizards have subtly been hinting at new City Edition uniforms. They've been tweeting a couple of things. They tweeted a couple of things on Sunday. The first one was a meme, and it's like the guy at the back of the party that no one's paying attention to, and he's just kind of thinking, are they all thinking what I'm thinking? If you know the meme, you know. If you don't, then you're probably like, Greg, what are you talking about? But the guy's basically saying he's a Wizards shirt on. He's saying they don't know what our new City Edition uniforms look like. So clearly they're hinting at that. And then the next post was a Wizards basketball, and they like poured over gold paint onto the ball. And then it like flashed to a gold finished basketball with, I believe, black seams, which I would assume means black and gold for the uniforms. I think like if I'm, and then this morning on Monday, they tweeted an hourglass at 11 a.m. and it's just like a gold lit up. I don't even know what building that is. And then on the top, it's the old, you know, when the Wizards rebranded or like 3 years ago when they went with the throwback uniforms, the white with the blue and gold outline. It was Brad's last year in DC with Porzingis. It's the same logo from that, the DMV logo with the basketball, and it's kind of like white with like blue outline. I'm trying to describe it the best I can for those that are listening. But nonetheless, at 11 a.m. on Monday, the Wizards are going to release, I would assume, their City Edition uniforms. The leaks have been that they're going to be gold with either white stripes as a secondary color or black. Now, based on that basketball being black and gold, I would assume they're black and gold, which were uniforms that they wore during the Gill days. I know a lot of people are mixed between them. Some people were like, those were ugly. Some people were like, those are cool. They're going to be more modern than those ones. And I don't think they'll wear a gold jersey with black shorts. That's not going to be the case. So these will, I think, be a lot cleaner. But I'll obviously have a tweet ready for that at 11. So it's going to come out maybe by the same time this is released. I'm recording it before, so I don't actually know what they fully look like. But it'll be cool, obviously. I think the Wizards need to rebrand at some point. That's a whole nother topic for a whole nother pod. But that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Look out for those jerseys. Hopefully you leave this one more informed about everything going on entering training camp, which media day is September 29th. I don't believe I'll be there this year. I have some other things up here at Penn State to do, but I'm sure a lot of people have great coverage of that. Hopefully I'll be at the home opener the 26th against Charlotte, but that's going to do it for this kind of training camp preview pod. I'll be back after media day to kind of dissect what everyone said, and that's the next time you'll probably see me on here. So again, thank you guys, as always, for listening. And I'll see you guys soon. Go Wiz.